Thank you. You may be seated. So planting a tree, that's something that we know a little bit about here, isn't it? Y'all remember last year when we planted the 4 apple trees on Earth Day, which is coming up rapidly again this year? Now, though those trees didn't produce fruit last year, they probably won't for the next few years until they are a little bit larger. Deep down, they mean something else to at least one of your pastors. Y'all ever hear that old Greek proverb, a society grows great when old people plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit? Well, the fact that I now have difficulty judging between who's in high school and who's in their 20s, I think legitimately makes me an older person now. I not only plan to sit under the shades of these apple trees, I expect to be here long after they start bearing fruit with all of you as we end up growing together. Amen would work. Where's Lee? God, you can tell Lee's still over in Portugal, huh? But it was great planting those trees last year, and because we were visibly outside that day, something happened that's never happened to me before. A family just driving by who had just left the preserve stopped by to see what was happening, and the father of one of the kids that was in the car there actually ended up digging one of the holes for the tree. Somebody just drove by, then they end up planting a tree at our church. Never in all my ministry have I seen anything like that, that simply being outside to plant a few trees would enable us to make contact with a family as Methodist about who we are and why we are here and why we are planting these trees. Now, sadly, not every fruit tree that has been planted by the Collins family has been fruitful. As a little kid, I remember when my dad and I and my brother as well, we planted a Japanese pear tree and an apple tree in the front yard near the edge of the field where I grew up. I was already very familiar as a little kid with the Japanese pear because up the hill it's like 5 feet. At my paternal grandparents' home, just up the hill, and our neighbors to the east, they had those pear trees as well. And our neighbors to the east, it was a massive tree, maybe 30 feet tall, just as big around, and it bore hundreds of pears each year. You didn't walk underneath it when the pears were ripe because they were like little rocks falling out of the tree. Because these weren't pears you could simply pick up and eat like a pear you buy at the store, like a Bartlett pear. These were hard pears, and they were the best for bacon. But that pear tree, that's not what I want to focus on today. Instead, I want to talk about that little apple tree that we had. Now, growing up, the tree grew a little bit. I really mean just a little bit each year. It's still about yay high 30 years later. And each year it would blossom. It had little tiny apples on it, but they would either fall off or the squirrels would eat them. All those years I lived in South Carolina, even to this day, not once has that tree produced a single piece of fruit. 30 years. Why let the thing stay, right? Is there hope that it's one day actually going to bear fruit? Does it stand a chance of doing the one thing that we expect of an apple tree? I mean, honestly, I can't give a good answer to that, but we have Jesus' teaching on the unfruitful fig tree to help shed some light on that topic, don't we? Now, the gardener who was tending to and looking after the tree in the vineyard for the owner speaks up on behalf of the 3-year fruitless tree, offering to tend to it and to nurture it, to love that tree and offer it everything it needed in hopes that in the coming year it would bear fruit, and if not, then you can go on ahead and take the axe to it. So it's easy to look on the surface and see the practicality of a tree wasting space in a vineyard. Why would someone who owned a vineyard want to plant a fig tree? That kind of boggles my mind, especially one that is not serving its purpose other than just existing. And then I think it's even easier to see how this can relate to a variety of things today, ranging from our individual selves to the church, I don't know, maybe even the government. So through the Spirit, Through the Spirit, we are nurtured by that gardener, and we are indeed redeemed through the actions of that gardener who's interceded for the tree that has borne no fruit in the master's vineyard. And I know and hope that everyone sitting here in some way, shape, or form can be able to relate to this teaching from Christ on a personal level. However, an aspect I want to highlight here is on that of the church. Now, y'all know that the United Methodist Church not just stands on the precipice of uncharted waters, but we are swimming deep in them right now as we wait to hear about what the future doctrine and polity will look like and whether we as disciples of Christ can live with that. But one of the great things that Bishop Bickerton reminded us of 8 days ago is that we have a mission. And the primary facet of that mission cannot be derailed by legislation that is, in my best language, incompatible with Christian teaching. Bishop said, legislation does not convert the heart. Just because the vote went a certain way, we cannot expect conformity to follow. We cannot legislate the change, but we can model what the change looks like and live into it with faithfulness and love. And we need to do so now in the midst of great pain and hurt. That's one of the statements that the bishop made to us last Saturday, Saturday before last. You know, sadly, our image as United Methodist and as part of Christianity, predominantly the fact that we are the second largest Protestant denomination, only behind the Southern Baptist Convention, which, if there are any recovering Baptists out here, I'm sorry for what I'm about to say. Or better yet, I'll just bite my tongue. But our image as a place of grace and of love has been tarnished. You know, in an era where the marketability of everything in our society, y'all know people have given us reviews on Google and Yelp, right? As a church, including one nice guy named Dave C. I don't know who that guy is. But these headlines that have dominated our news cycles the last few weeks, they have indeed portrayed us as a denomination and as a church that doesn't have our act together, that on a leadership level says we believe in the sacred worth of all individuals, yet we also teach that there are those who are undesirable, who are welcome to sit here, but not to lead here. Negative press does us no good to the community we're supposed to reach out towards. And if now, more than ever, we as United Methodists have doubled down on the discriminatory language to define who we are. So after Bishop Bickerton's inspiring message 8 days ago, well, then we need to double down on our faith and on our calling. I've already issued my response to the actions of General Conference and stated that we are a place that affirms, that is open and welcomes all, and that our mission and ministry has and will continue to do so. And currently we're working on an image, on a logo, to show how we are an open people. So when people look to the Methodist Church in Port Washington, they can see that, yeah, even though the United Methodist Church as a whole may not have its act together, it looks like, well, this local church in our community does. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute as well. But in times like these, real crisis moments, you know, there's not enough time to sit back and to wait and see how things pan out. And even if you ask me what's going to happen, Pastor David, with the future of the church, I'm going to give you the only solid answer I have, and that's I don't know. We're in a holding pattern at the moment with the future of our church. So while we're in this holding pattern, let's think of our congregation here as the fig tree that hasn't really bore fruit in a couple years. You know, we've survived year to year, maybe popping out a few new leaves, a couple of new shoots, and some new members and a few kids, but we've also had some branches that have withered away and maybe even some that have been broken off. We haven't truly bore a lot of fruit in a while in the way that Christ calls us to. And we can't just exist. We are like any other number of Christian churches that are dwindling in buildings that choke the life out of us. Happy that we can just survive. But instead of this, we should yearn to be thriving and not just recollect the days of the past when, I quote, things were good. But instead on what things we could be doing now that will allow us to reflect in the future about when we decided that we were truly going to embrace the Spirit's presence among us and allow God to change us. I know how it is when you get a pastor that you like that helps bring a sense of calmness to a congregation, but calmness cannot turn into complacency as we move into the future. I remember Pastor Romy met with some people in one of her churches in the past, and she asked them, "What is it you desire the most as a congregation?" You know what their answer was? A youth group. They didn't have any kids. Why do you need a youth group if you don't have any kids? But you know, in 3 short years, shortly before we left that appointment, they actually did kick off their youth group. It's still going today. It's grown a little bit. They didn't get there overnight, though, and it sure wasn't the sole responsibility of a much beloved pastor that made that youth group magically arise, but it was the laity, it was the congregation, it was the community there in the church that instead chose to change and embrace God's Spirit among us and make their church the community center as well as the center of the community. Beloveds, we are here, and we are part of the great fig tree known as the United Methodist Church of Port Washington. The great gardener is nurturing us and calling us forward in this moment. We are here for such time as these. Now, I'm going to hark back to the first sermon I ever preached here. And it was on the seeds that were sown upon the four soils. The seeds on the path that the birds swooped down and ate. The seeds on the rocks that, you know, they shot up real quickly, but the heat ended up baking them and the sun cooked them. Then there were the seeds in the thorns that were choked out. And then there were seeds in the good soil. Any of y'all remember which soil I believed y'all are? Come on, there's some of y'all that was here that first Sunday. The fertile soil, the good one, the last one I mentioned right there. The good soil that is ready for something fresh and new, a place ready to embrace God's grace and share it openly. And you know what? I'm proud to say here, let's double down on that. Let's double down on the fact that we're a place that is ready to embrace the grace of God and show it openly. Amen? Now hang on, we're not done yet. Now that you've agreed, don't you want to hear what it is you signed up for? You want to read the fine print, so to speak? I'm like, I feel like a used car salesman. 440 churches exist in the New York Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. There are 84 congregations that worship 100 or more people per week. That means there's 356 that worship less than 100, and 138 of those congregations worship less than 25. It wasn't that long ago where we were on the cusp of being one of those churches. And I don't tell y'all this news to bum you out today. because we are currently on a path that can indeed lead us to a strong and to a long-term viability as part of the body of Christ, because we've signed up. Here it is. This is what y'all just agreed to never allow discrimination to take hold in this place, to choose love over hate. Signed up to embrace all, and all really means all. We've signed up to fulfill the gospel message, but are we living up fully to that calling? Are we out in the community witnessing to our faith every moment of our lives? So here comes the challenge. The pastor's challenge to you is that I know each of you. Each of you has to know somebody who has had some sort of relationship with a part of the body of Christ, be it here or elsewhere, who has no place to call their faith home. There may be someone who has been struggling with an unexpected death in their family. Someone who knows someone who's struggling with addiction and wonders why God allows that to happen. Reach out to that person. Reach out to that family. Reach out to them in the name of Christ. Be that warm, welcoming face, the Methodist Church of Port Washington. Because that first Sunday, I was convinced y'all are fertile soil, and now today I say that with the deepest of conviction, once people experience God's presence among you and among this house of worship, they will remember who and whose they are. We, as in Pastor Romy and I and the church office, we're going to get our name out there and state that we are a welcoming and affirming place. But each one of us here today has to be welcoming and, more importantly, inviting. So take the grace that you've received here and share it with someone. Share your faith story. Share how God has worked in your life. Let them know that this is a place where that grace can be experienced. I was so proud that so many of y'all were here yesterday for Peter's memorial service. It's fantastic to see the outpouring of love that y'all have showed to Hella and to Dave over the last couple weeks. It's amazing that when I go for a visit, there's already a Methodist from the Port Washington Church there in the house with them. Share the transformation you've experienced in your life, that grace that got you through a difficult time, or how you've been blessed in any number of ways, how God has surprised you in your life. Simple one for me is the fact that I never wanted to live on Long Island. But now that I'm here, I never want to cross Northern Boulevard. I see the great blessing that rests in each of you and the members that we serve God alongside with. And that we are not satisfied with being a fruitless tree, are we? Beloveds, welcome and invite. Let's grow the relationships that we have with others. Let's grow into a greater place of peace and of grace together. Let's be the 85th United Methodist Church in the New York Annual Conference that gathers together with more than 100 beloved children of God each week. A house of worship that is genuine, that is truthful with who we are, can do this. Because we're a place where healthy relationships with each other and with God can be nurtured. Let's bear fruit together. Let's be ready to offer our witness and to invite to others. You think we can share that message together? Amen, and thanks be to God. So being able to share that message, being called and into mission and ministry together, that as we go through these coming weeks and months, know that Pastor Romy and I hold each of you and are in our prayers, for we know that together we will indeed grow and thrive as part of the body of Christ. Amen.